From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. High school students nationwide are agitating for action on gun violence. Thousands are expected in D.C. for the March for Our Lives. This morning, we hear from Park School of Baltimore students who will march, including Liza Sheehy.
We need to be engaged, and we need to prove to our legislators, to our administration at our schools, to our Baltimore community that this is something that we want to be a part of and something that we want to take action on.
And from Erica Alston Buck, parent, activist, and co-founder of Kids Safe Zone. She'll travel with busloads of students bound for the march.
Children are really dealing with real fear that someone can walk into their school and kill them.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. There's a revolution afoot, a revolution, and it's being fueled by high school students across the country who are discovering the power of political engagement. Galvanized by the tragedy in Parkville, Florida, at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School that left 17 people dead last month, students across the country have staged rallies and walkouts demanding stricter gun laws and an end to gun violence. Students here rallied at Baltimore City Hall 2 weeks ago. This Saturday, March 24th, is a focus of much of the organizing, the March for Our Lives in Washington, D.C. Hundreds of thousands of young people and families from all parts of the U.S. are expected, demanding their voices be heard. Later in the show, we'll meet an organizer who will accompany Baltimore City students to the march on the buses Mayor Pugh is renting, and another organizer who has found lodging for hundreds of students coming to the march. With us now are three people from the Park School of Baltimore who are planning to go to D.C. after exercising their political engagement muscles locally as well. Freshman Liza Sheehy attended her first legislative hearing in Annapolis and will talk with us about her experience. Welcome to the show, Liza.
Thank you.
And senior class president Mahi Geis is also with us. Geis marched with her classmates to City Hall. Welcome, Mahi.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And Romel Loria is on the Park faculty. He's director of civic engagement and service learning there. Welcome, Romel.
Thanks for having me.
So what does your role consist of as director of civic engagement?
One of the strategic goals of the school is to prepare students for active citizenship in our democracy and for participation in our democracy. And so a lot of my work is preparing students to connect with the community in a lot of different ways, whether it's through service, whether it's through advocacy, or other activities.
And 2 weeks ago, there was a day you had to choose between marching to City Hall and heading to Annapolis?
Right. There were a couple of events going on around gun violence in schools, and there was the march here in Baltimore, and there was also a gun day in Annapolis for the legislative session where many bills related to guns were being heard. And so students from our school participated in the march and went to City Hall. And then I took a small group of students to Annapolis to listen to the hearings related to gun legislation.
So is this something you already had discussed with the students in your role as Director of Civic Education?
So we've been talking about how to respond to the violence in Parkland, Florida, and gun violence in schools in general. And that had been something that had come about because of students in the community who had been interested in learning about, you know, what they could do to respond. And so those conversations had been ongoing since February. And so we had had an organizing meeting, I think, the Friday before that march, and we decided that these were two events that we could take part in.
How have students been reacting?
I think that students are perplexed as to why there's inaction. I think that students are also, I think that they're affected by it. I think that they're scared, and I think that they want to feel safe, and I think they're searching for ways to take action.
Mahi, you chose to march to City Hall.
Yes, I did.
Why?
Well, I wanted to march to City Hall because I had seen kind of the quantity of students from public and private schools who were really interested in going on this march. And going on the march was really empowering because a lot of times it can feel like there's a divide between students who go to public schools and private schools. But going on the march, you know, we were all united by this common cause of wanting to have a larger role in activism and having a larger role in the debate on gun control. And a lot of the time, it feels like student voices are kind of neglected and not really heard in the national conversation. And, you know, that's looking back in history during the civil rights movement, there were so many, you know, young students who led the way, Diane Nash, Freeman Hrabowski, all these like very important figures who create a change. And it's important for us now to look back and see that we can actually cause a lot of change and more conversation about something as important as gun control, especially in Baltimore, where it's particularly pertinent to be talking about gun violence.
Liza, tell us about your experience. Why did you want to attend the gun laws hearings in Annapolis?
I chose to go to Annapolis for two reasons. I think that the first was that the voice of students has become so powerful at the moment. The students in Parkland, I think, really felt betrayed by the adults in their life and in their community, and so they've decided to advocate for themselves. And I think that the rest of us are following that lead, and it's important to be present and to show that we really do care about this.
Why is it important?
Because to prove that this is a movement that students can be a part of, we need to be engaged. And we need to prove to the adults, to our legislators, to our administration at our schools, to our Baltimore community, that this is something that we want to be a part of and something that we want to take action on. And the other reason that I chose to go to Annapolis was because I think that if I'm going to take action on this issue, then I need to understand what's happening in our state and hear all perspectives. I personally don't know many people who own guns or who hunt for sport. And when we were in the hearings, we heard from people who do. And while hearing their perspectives, it didn't change mine. I think that I accomplished my goal because I think I have a greater understanding of why this issue is so difficult, because there are so many opinions and perspectives.
Mahi, did you have any experience like that in hearing people who disagreed with you in the march to City Hall?
Mm-hmm. Well, before the march, there were a lot of students at my school and other schools who were kind of debating the importance or the validity of walking out. And while, you know, those opinions are obviously valid and I do want to hear more opinions about it, I think that the walkout was important to kind of show, you know, solidarity and show, you know, the importance of student voices and student opinions, and regardless of what those, you know, opinions are.
Are you planning to go to the D.C. march?
Yes.
Liza, are you planning to go to the D.C. march?
Yes, I am.
Ramel, how long have you been teaching civic education?
So this is my fourth year in the role at Park.
Have you ever seen anything quite like this?
I think that advocacy is something that we work on all year long at Park, but I think that this is perhaps one of the most powerful examples that I've seen of students connecting to an issue and creating action around an issue.
I'm grateful to you for giving us an idea of what's going on. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Freshman Liza Sheehy and senior Mahi Geis from the Park School of Baltimore and director of student civic engagement Ramel Loria. They've been telling us about their political engagement in protest of gun violence. They're heading to D.C. for the March for Our Lives this Saturday.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about the surge in political engagement by teens around the country agitating for action on gun violence. Joining us now by phone is Michaela Honig, a senior at Walter Johnson High School in Bethesda and a founding member of DC Teens Action. She and her classmates have organized lodging for teens coming to DC for the March for Our Lives on Saturday. Welcome to On the Record, Michaela.
Hi, thank you.
So, Michaela, tell us how DC Teens Action came about.
after the Parkland shooting and with the organization of the march, we realized that this was a great opportunity and every high schooler involved needed to get their voice out, every student really. This is an issue that has, could, or will affect all of us, so everyone deserves a say.
Who's working with you on this? Who helped organize this?
There's me, Gabrielle Zwie, Kate LeBrun, Mae Canning, Maggie Hansen, and Emiliano Chavez.
I got the impression that there was a particular moment when you and your classmates decided it was time to take some action. Can you tell me about that?
So on February 21st, we had the walkout to D.C., which Gabrielle and Kate went to. During that time, there was a bomb threat here, so we all had to evacuate to the football field. And going out, me and Mae kind of saw each other, and we went, this is it. We're done with this. We're fed up.
You were fed up with what in particular?
Having to go to school every day scared, having to hear about school shootings, our fellow classmates dying all the time. This isn't new anymore. We hear a school shooting, and it's not, I mean, it's horrifying, but it's not surprising. It's not new. It's just another one, and that shouldn't be normal.
So how did you decide that organizing places for protesters to stay would be a productive contribution?
People coming in from out of state wouldn't really have a place to stay, and it would also be really expensive. I mean, between hotels and air travel or even gas money, it was going to add up really quickly. And for a lot of people, that's just not a reality or a possibility that they can do. So we realized that we have homes in the Metro DC area, and we know we could open our homes, so we have a lot of friends who would be willing to open their homes up. And it started with WJ, but it really has taken off from there.
Yeah, I mean, what has been the response?
It's been incredible. We have about 300 families who have opened up their homes, which is about 700 open spaces. We've had churches, synagogues, youth groups, everything say we can use their facilities whenever we need. Our school has been incredible, and we're hosting a dinner on March 23rd, the night before the march, for all the students to come in and kind of get to know each other so we can really consolidate our efforts. And our school has given us everything we've asked for and more. It's been incredible.
Why do you think teens have risen to the occasion around this issue?
So the Columbine shooting happened in 1999, and the oldest member in our group was born in 2000. That means that we are all now either 17 or 18 and almost ready to vote. We realize that this is ridiculous. We are tired of living in a world where we're scared for our lives, where we won't like leave the classrooms anymore without our phones in case something happens, where every day we come home, there's another terrible thing on the news. And that's not fair to us. It's not fair to our classmates, especially not a world that we want like our younger siblings in.
Mikhail, I really appreciate your telling us about it. And I hope this goes really well.
Thank you.
Michaela Honig is a senior at Walter Johnson High School in Bethesda, who with some classmates has organized lodging for teens coming to D.C. for the March for Our Lives on Saturday. This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Joining us now is Erica Alston Buck, founder of Kids Safe Zone in West Baltimore. Buck will be traveling with busloads of students leaving from Baltimore for the March for Our Lives rally in D.C. on Saturday. Welcome back to the show, Erica.
Thanks for having me.
You'll be traveling with students on the buses arranged by Mayor Catherine Pugh, correct?
Absolutely.
How did that come about?
An immediate response when the Baltimore City Public School kids decided that they were not going to take it anymore and walked from their schools to City Hall. They were greeted by the mayor and the Baltimore City Police Commissioner, and immediately she strategized to have their voices heard. So on the day that the kids walked out, the mayor decided right there at that moment that she wanted to provide an opportunity for each of those kids to stand up in Washington, D.C.
And how did she figure out? How does anyone figure out how many buses?
Yep. She knew that she wanted as many as she could. And without using taxpayer dollars, she solicited private donors to provide funding for the buses and the T-shirts and everything that she was going to provide for the ride. So 20 buses was more than enough. I think that was a huge, huge call to get a lot of students there. So it's not just Baltimore City Public School students. It's an opportunity for any student in private school, Catholic school, homeschool kids, any child that feels like they want to be a part of being heard to stop this horrific gun violence in schools.
You're a chaperone.
Absolutely.
How many chaperones?
300 adult chaperones.
And what is the role of the chaperones?
We are there to simply oversee, to provide an adult presence for a youth-led initiative. So it's very important that everyone knows that the kids are leading this. It's their voice, it's their mission, and the adults are just there to make certain that there's no chaos, there's no confusion, and making certain, like on the ride, that we're reiterating, you know, why we're doing this. It's very important that the kids not only, you know that they have a voice, but how impactful their voices are. So that's going to be my mission on the bus, to just drive home to these kids that your voice is important. When we stand together, we make a huge difference. And for them to recognize that moving forward, not just in this march, that in anything that they feel strongly about, that they could band together.
Have kids or parents talked to you about any safety concerns?
Well, no, not with the march. But the safety concerns have been with, you know, the threat of gun violence in schools. Children are really dealing with real fear that someone can walk into their school and kill them. So it's that.
I understand you're taking your daughter?
Absolutely.
Or your daughter is going?
Yeah, my daughter is taking me.
She's 14?
She's 14 years old.
Why does she want to go?
She wants to go because she wasn't given the opportunity to walk out. Her school said that if any of the students walked out, they'd be facing suspension. And when she came to me teary-eyed, you know, letting me know that she wanted to be a part of the national walkout but couldn't because, you know, the principal said that they'd be suspended, I said, how important is it to you? Her mom's Erica Austin Buck. We get suspended, you know? If it's something that you're passionate about, I needed to let her know that she could do it. And the only reason she didn't is because she's also a three-sport athlete, and she had a track meet coming. And I don't think any child should be forced to make a decision between what's important to them and what's important to them, you know, not being able to combine the two. So she's going to be there because she didn't get an opportunity to do it when every other student got to do it. And I'm very intentional about including her in anything that's social justice or giving her a platform to see what we can do when we band together.
Back on the money question, mm-hmm. some students raised issues about the $100,000 for buses, arguing it could be better used for school improvements or something to improve education. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
My thought is the mayor's got a tough job. She's got a tough job, and she can't be everything to everybody. But in that moment, this was important. It's not in any way minimizing the importance of heat in the school buildings because she's working on that. There is a plan that $100,000 is a drop in the bucket for what they need to do to make certain that the facility improvements are made. But in that, she was very intentional about raising money from private sector to do this. So you can't raise private money to fix the schools, the heating system. So that's processes. And, you know, so I'm honored that the mayor would set aside money and time and energy and effort that it took to raise $100,000. That's her personally making phone calls. That's her relationships that she decided that she wanted these kids to be able to do this. And the only way that they could do it was by bus and to immediately provide that. My hat's off to her.
What do you think it says, her being able to raise that much money that quickly? Mm-hmm. What does it say about this moment we're in and the support for this movement?
There are parents who, although are concerned about the quality of the buildings, they're more concerned about the quality of their children's lives. So if there is something that could be done to give parents and students a sense of security that perhaps this won't happen in our school, that if kids are being vocal enough in Washington, D.C., that some real changes could be made. So I believe that what's happening right now, I mean, the drills that the kids have to go through. You know, I've got a second grader and a ninth grader who come home after being in a closet for an hour as a drill. You know, long gone are the days of a fire drill where we're excited to be outside for a few minutes, but our kids are under tables and in closets and pretending that there's an armed gunman in school. So, yeah, I think it's pretty important to raise money for this and make this happen for these kids right now.
There is still room for more students.
Absolutely.
To sign up?
Yes.
Where do they sign up?
They're going to sign up on your homepage.
You're right, we will.
Yep, absolutely. So the link that you're providing on your homepage will allow anyone who wants to go. Also, that's the 300 parents and adults that we're still looking to get to volunteer chaperones, and any student. Again, Baltimore City School students, Baltimore County, Catholic schools, private schools, any student, any young person that wants to be on those buses can be on the bus.
Erica, thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Erica Alston Buck, founder of Kids Safe Zone, is one of scores of chaperones for students from the Baltimore area who will head to the March for Our Lives rally against gun violence in Washington, D.C. this Saturday. As Erica said, at the On the Record page at WYPR.org, we'll have a link to how you can sign up to ride on one of these buses.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.